And as we look at the world today, we see that the world is a dangerous place. The world is a dangerous place in that there's an individual who is named Satan, who the Bible says over and over again is the God of this world. Oh, you don't believe me? Let me prove it to you this morning. Put on your Bible fingers as we go through the scripture. Let's look first of all at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 as we talk about the fact that the world is a dangerous place. Like the Jericho Road, the world is a dangerous place.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of The Jericho Road. The world is a dangerous place. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Jericho Road. The world is a dangerous place.
I've put up a series of quotes that I would like to show and read for you now. Robert Gundry, who authored the New Testament survey, says this: the road from Jerusalem to Jericho went down about 3,400 feet in only 17 or so miles and passed through gorges and ravines infested with bandits. R.C. Chulinski, probably one of the finest New Testament commentators that ever lived, writes this: Jesus is using as an illustration that is drawn from what was known to happen on the road between Jerusalem and Jericho, which led through a rugged, uninhabited mountain stretch that was infested by bandits long after the days of Jesus. The pulpit commentary says this: the way he was traveling was the road leading down from Jerusalem to Jericho, a distance of 21 miles. Not the only way, but the most direct. It was a rugged, rocky pass, well adapted for the purposes of thieves and desperados, and was known owing to the many dark deeds of which it had been seen as the way of blood. One group, a Franciscan Foundation for the Holy Land, says this: between Jericho and Jerusalem is a road known as the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And then Martin Luther King writes this. He says, I remember when Miss King and I were first in Jerusalem. We rented a car and drove from Jerusalem down to Jericho. As soon as we got on that road, I said to my wife, I can see why Jesus used this as a setting for his parable. It is a winding, meandering road. It's really conducive for ambushing. You start out in Jerusalem, which is about 12,000 or 1,200 feet above sea level, and by the time you get down to Jericho, 15 or 20 minutes later, you are 2,200 feet below sea level. That's a dangerous road. In the days of Jesus, it came to be known as the Bloody Pass. As we look at the Jericho Road today, we see the Jericho Road is a dangerous place. The Jericho Road is a place, according to the scripture, that led down from Jerusalem, down to Jericho, and the Jericho Road was a road that was infested with thieves and bandits. I want to share with you today that the world is much like the Jericho Road. First of all, the world leads us down away from the things of God. Jerusalem was the holy city, and the road from Jericho led down from the holy city down to Jericho. And those who follow the ways of the world will be led down away from the things of God. If you look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, John says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That if you have a relationship with the things of this world, and you are one who is desirous of a worldly lifestyle, and you are wrapped up in the things of the world, John says that the love of the Father is not in you. So just like the road from Jericho leads down from the holy city, the world leads down from the holiness and the things of God. The second thing we see about the Jericho Road, that it was a place for robbers and bandits, a place of imminent danger. And as we look at the world today, we see that the world is a dangerous place. The world is a dangerous place in that there's an individual who is named Satan, who the Bible says over and over again is the God of this world. Oh, you don't believe me? Let me prove it to you this morning. Put on your Bible fingers as we go through the scripture. Let's look first of all at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, as we talk about the fact that the world is a dangerous place. Like the Jericho Road, the world is a dangerous place. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. And actually, if we go back in verse 3, it says, "But if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden from those that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not." Satan is the God of this world. Secondly, look at John chapter 12 and verse 31. John chapter 12, the Gospel of John chapter 12 and verse 31. Jesus says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." Satan is the God of this world. He's the prince of this world. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. In Ephesians 2 and verse 2, it says, "In which in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." He's the God of this world. He's the prince of this world. He's the prince of the powers of the air. My brothers and sisters, this lets us know that if we want to lock into the world system, that we are locking into a system that's controlled and that's influenced by none other than the devil himself. Now I want to stand here today and say that we just got finished singing about Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Shammah, and we know that God is the ultimate ruler of this world. We know that Satan has power, but God has all power. We know that. But for some reason, God has allowed Satan to have influence, and a whole lot of it, over the course and over the affairs of this world. And that's why I want to get this message across to somebody today, to let you know that if you are outside the ark of safety, that if you are outside the house this morning, that you are in a dangerous place, and that you are open to be beat down and beat up and jumped on the road that leads down from the holy city down to Jericho. That you are traveling on a dangerous road today. Somebody said, "Well, what is the world? What is the world?" You know, when we think about the world, and the Bible talks about the world, it uses several concepts. First of all, there's the world, which is the physical earth. That's the world. But that's not what we're talking about. There's the world of people. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world not the earth, but he loved this world of people that he gave his only begotten son. That's not what we're talking about. And perhaps the best definition of what it means to refer to the world is found by Chuck Swindoll. And I have a quote there, if you could put that up, by Chuck Swindoll. And when I saw this, I said, this is exactly what it means. So I want us to all understand, when we talk about the world, and we say that Satan is the god of this world, and we say that he's the prince of the power of the air, and we say that he is in control of things in this world, what do we mean? What do we mean when we talk about the world? Swindoll says this: the world system is committed to at least four major objectives, which I can summarize in four words: fortune, fame, power, and pleasure. First and foremost, fortune, or money. The world system is driven by money. It feeds on materialism. Second, fame. That is another word for popularity. Fame is the longing to be known, to be somebody in somebody else's eyes. Third is power. This is having influence, maintaining control over individuals or groups or companies or whatever. It is the desire to manipulate and maneuver others to do something for one's own benefit. Fourth is pleasure. At its basic level, pleasure has to do with fulfilling one's sensual desires. It is the same mindset that's behind the slogan, if it feels good, do it. What a apropos definition when we talk about the world. This is what the world, this is what Satan controls. When Satan tempted Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, after Jesus had fasted in the wilderness, one of the temptations that Satan came to Jesus with, he said, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you the kingdoms of the world. What was he talking about? The world system. I will give you all the money that you want. I will give you all the fame that you want. I will give you all the power that you want. I will give you all the pleasure that you want. And if this is our desire in life, if we are seeking after these things, we are seeking after the world. And the Bible has already told us who the god of this world is. And so, you see people every day that they are consumed with these four things. They are consumed with fortune. Regardless of the people around them that need help and need encouragement and need to be ministered to, that they are consumed with fame or fortune or popularity or power. And they are caught up in a satanic system. And God operates on a completely different system than what Satan operates on. And the problem with a lot of God's people is that they are wrapped up in this satanic system, that they are Christians and they say that they love the Lord and they say that they're following God, but they are wrapped up in the world system. And this system is designed, is controlled, and is influenced by Satan. And when we think about this, where does Satan's influence extend? It extends into several areas. If you could put the other slide back up here. We see that, first of all, Satan influences the kingdoms of this world. Now, let me be honest with you, that we could be in America. This is not a God-centered kingdom. You know, when God is in control, it's not called a republic or a democracy. When God is in control, it's called a theocracy. And that means that God is the one that rules. And so here we have politicians in America that is supposedly the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And yet and still, I'm going to stand here from 7745 Tioga Street this morning and announce that this country is under satanic control. Now, how do you know that? Let me show you what a theocracy is. Put up that one slide. If you want this sheet, I just couldn't print it. I couldn't get it all up here. But there are scriptures that say that these are the specific things in God's kingdom. That when God's kingdom comes to this earth, that many of us know as the millennium, these will be the things that will be in place. So my point this morning is that no matter how holy and righteous a government might seem, it's still not a theocracy. And the only way that we are going to live in accordance with God's standards and God's rule is to be under a theocracy. And until a kingdom is set up like this, this is God's standard, this is God's kingdom right here. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, joy. Now, again, if you want the sheet, I'll give it to you with all the scriptures behind it. Holiness, glory, justice, healing, freedom from oppression, economic prosperity for everybody. For everybody. In God's kingdom. In God's kingdom. A unified language, the manifest presence of God, and the fullness of the Spirit. That is God's kingdom. And anything short of that is not the kingdom of God. So even though we are here in America, and you know, it kills me when people are, now, America is founded on Christian principles, right? But we're everything but that. So it kills me when people want to work and make this a Christian nation. It's never going to happen. That is never going to happen. And we might as well stop fooling ourselves. And we can put righteous people in government, and I believe we need to do that. I honestly believe that we need to do that. But if we think that that's the hope and the salvation for the world, then you are gravely mistaken. Because the only salvation and the only way there's going to be perfect peace is when the Prince of Peace comes back. And the reason that there'll never be perfect peace until the Prince of Peace comes back is because Satan is the god of this world. And he is the one that influences this world. Now, you don't believe me? Put that other slide back up there. Where does his influence go to? Look at Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Revelation 11 and verse 15. And I'm going to show you right now, he's in control. Revelation chapter 15. Or excuse me, chapter 11, verse 15. We see during the tribulation, verse 15 says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom or kingdoms of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. Now, what's this say? This lets us know that God, these are not God's kingdoms. Right now, if we want God's kingdom, then we got to go back to that other sheet, the other slide that I showed. That's the kingdom of God. But one day, the kingdoms of this world, America, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, Persia, Africa, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. And he will reign forever and ever. And that's the day that we look forward to. But until that time, the kingdoms of this world belong to the devil. Now again, God at any point, and that's the beauty and power about God. God at any point in time can interject. That's why we pray. That's why we pray. Because this is an ungodly world. This is the kingdoms of this world. And so we pray and ask God to interject and ask God to intervene in the kingdoms of this world. And that's the power and the beauty of prayer. Because God can trump Satan every time. God can override Satan every time. And Satan has no power except what God allows him to have. This world is a dangerous place. We need to wake up and realize that. The second thing that we see is that Satan has not only influences over the kingdoms of this world, but he has influence over the affairs of this world. Look at Revelation 18. That should be Revelation 18. I have up there Revelation 19. Revelation 18. And this is talking about world commerce. And I wish I had time to get into this and teach it. But it's talking about world commerce, and that in the end, what's going to happen to the economic system of this world. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and become the habitation of demons, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For watch this. Now we're talking about the economic systems of this world. For all the nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are grown rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Wow. Even the commerce of this world is influenced by Satan. And you look at our society, and that's why it's get all you can all you get, and as I always say, sit on the can. It's all about grabbing. You know, and I praise God for Christian businesses that say they're going to honor God, because then truly they are apart from this system. A business that operates by the principles and kingdoms, principles found in the Word of God, that's a business that has separated themselves from the way that the world is going. Because if you tie into the way the world does things, you're tying right into a satanic system. You know, I always thought, and again, I have to raise my hand, because I was guilty of it, so I'm not condemning anybody here today. I'm not condemning anybody. So I'm raising my hand and say I'm the first one. But I always thought that if God was in control of Little League sports, would they be setting up games the same time as worship? Oh, come on, back up on that preacher. Now, I took my son to play football. They wrestled. And you know when I took them? It was on Sundays. So, if I'm beating you down, I'm beating myself down. But do you think if God was in control of that system, that they would be setting up games during times when people are supposed to be worshiping? You know? So that just, again, now, if you get a Christian sports league or a league that wants to honor God, then, and they put God first, what are they going to do? Well, no, we can't play at that time. We can't do it at that. Why? Because that's the time we worship. Oh, man, somebody said, oh, I know. Where's my bodyguards at this morning? Y'all looking at me funny up in here. Y'all looking at me straight. I'm just letting you know that the king, this world, the songwriter said, is no friend of grace. It's no friend of grace. And it's a dangerous place because it draws you away from the things of God. Satan has influence over the desires of this world. 1 John 2:6, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Jericho Road, The World is a Dangerous Place. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Jericho Road, The World is a Dangerous Place, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Jericho Road, The World is a Dangerous Place. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Jericho Road, The World is a Dangerous Place. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 877- 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.